Yeah, we are joined on the phone right now by Saluki men's head basketball coach Brian Mullins, who did call us earlier.
Oh, okay.
But he didn't quite hear us down the line, and I hope he's hearing us down the line now. Coach, are you with us?
Hey, guys, what's going on? I'm with you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you, Coach.
Loud and clear. Thanks for making time for us one night before an exhibition game.
Yeah, you called early, too. That's impressive. You called early.
No one calls us early.
One of our first rules in our program is be early.
All right.
Good man, good man. Fifth preseason in the Valley, does that mean anything to you right now?
Not a thing. It means we're 0-0, and we got a good test tomorrow night, and I know the guys are extremely excited. I'm excited to watch these guys, and hopefully the community can come out and see them for the first time. And I think it was over 600 days since we've been able to, you know, play a home game with people in the stands. So it's an exciting night tomorrow night.
How much of a difference does that make? I mean, obviously, it's more exciting for fans when you're watching the game, obviously, if you're there. But what does it mean if you're a coach? What does it mean if you're a player to have people in the stands behind you?
Well, I mean, our guys love to play, and my staff and myself, we love to coach, you know, for the relationship piece, the development piece, and our guys love to compete just to compete. So, you know, in terms of the community, it's what makes this program so special, and how much support we get and how much pride and passion there is for SIU around the Southern Illinois region. And it, the atmosphere, it's hard to describe, or it's hard to, you know, duplicate. And when it's not there, it's just a different feeling in the Banterra Center. So, you know, it means a lot to us. It really does. You know, there's a reason why this program's been so successful over the last 30 years, and a lot of it has to do with this community.
Yeah, and Coach Mike Murphy here, when you play in front of people, everybody likes a crowd, and some people thrive on that crowd. Competitors like yourself, I mean, you hear the people back there, you hear the cheers, you feel the movement, and even though it's an exhibition game, I think this is going to be a hell of a crowd tomorrow night.
I hope so. I hope we can, you know, just pack it. You know, we don't have a ton of home games with students on campus this first semester, just because of, you know, the Valley for the first time ever. We got to go to Evansville during the non-conference season this year. Our Paradise Jam tournament is a longer tournament than usual for an MP, so that takes up a whole week of our non-conference season. So, I'm looking forward to it, you know, seeing a lot of familiar faces in the stands, and then hopefully we can get the students out and pack the pound. They've been great at the football game so far this year. So there's a lot of positive energy around campus and around the athletic department right now.
Talking to Saluki head coach Brian Mullins, who will we see tomorrow night versus Henderson State? Who maybe will we not see playing tomorrow night?
Well, you'll see a team that plays extremely hard. Our guys are, you know, been working since, you know, we got together first week of June. So, you know, in terms of, you know, you'll see a team that, will represent, you know, this university and this department the right way. In terms of the health of our guys, you know, really the only guys that won't play for sure, Trent Brown won't play. He's been dealing with some back issues these past couple weeks. You know, I think he'll be ready to go for November 9th. And then Ben Coupet tweaked his hamstring a couple days ago in practice, so he's been day-to-day. So kind of see how he feels in the morning. But, you know, the biggest thing is kind of getting him ready also for the opening game of the season. But everyone else is healthy. Everyone else has been going every single day, you know, and you know, everyone else is excited to play tomorrow night.
This is kind of a question like asking a parent who's your favorite child. But who's a player that you're excited for fans to see, whether it's somebody we know like a Damask or a Lance Jones or a newcomer that we haven't seen before? Who are you excited for Saluki fans to finally get a glimpse of after 600 plus days away?
Yeah, that's a tough one right there. I'm excited for them to watch our team as a whole and see our connectedness. You know, we talk a lot about ball movement every single day in our practice, and then we talk a lot about team defense every single day in our practice. And then hopefully those two things, along with us playing as hard as we possibly can in every single possession, will you know, give the community and the people who haven't seen us play in over 600 days something where they want to come back, you know, for the rest of the season. You know, like I said, I think all of our guys, you know, have different, you know, things that, you know, other people will really love watching them. You know, our freshmen have been working extremely hard, Foster, Troy, Scotty. The returning guys, they've all made big jumps. You know, Lance has been available every single day throughout the summer and the fall. Dalton and Kyler, I think, from freshman year to sophomore year, you always have that big improvement, really because of comfortability. But also, those two guys are one of our two of our hardest workers, and they both have transformed their bodies and physically are at a much different level than they were as a freshman. And then you got, you know, Marcus, who was out all year, and JD, who was out all year. Anthony DeVonzo is much stronger right now as well. So, you know, it's really, you know, I've said it a lot, you know, the past month or so, it's our deepest team in these first couple of years of the program here. And I think they can all do different things, but how they work together is what I'm excited to watch.
Hey, Brian, you've mentioned this a couple of times, and I know where it comes from because it was like this when you played here. But you talked about the excitement with Saluki football and how it carries over. And it is an exciting time to be an SIU athlete right now and in whatever sport. But you were here when it was like that. Football was good. Basketball was good. And that's kind of the way we're going again. It's a great trend, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, we feed off each other's programs, and there's so many great coaches in this department right now. I mean, track and field at Roz. I mean, you know, obviously Coach Blaylock is a legend, and you know, we take for granted, you know, how successful her program is every single year. And Lance, what he did with baseball in the springtime. You know, so it's just, you know, it's a great time to be a Saluki. And like I said, this thing's about to snowball. I mean, Nick's got the thing rolling right now. And in terms of where we're going, with all of our programs, I mean, that 04 to 08 run kind of for SIU athletics was as good as anywhere in the country, in terms of championships won. And I think that's where we're headed. So it's just exciting now that fans can actually be back in the arena.
I want to talk about the rest of the Valley a little bit. Drake picked to win the league this year after the run they had last year. Very deserved. Loyola, changing of the guard. How much different, and you can speak to this as well as anybody, how much different really is Loyola going to look with a different head coach?
Loyola, I mean, they return all those guys again except for Krutwig, you know, so that they're going to be the same team. I think, you know, they added two grad transfers, returned four COVID seniors. You know, our league is just incredibly tough, incredibly old this year. You know, obviously there was a lot of old teams last year. In a normal year, a lot of those teams would have got younger this past year, but they all stayed old. And, you know, that's why I think, really, since I was playing, you know, 05 when we got four teams into the NCAA tournament, and probably should have had five with Missouri State getting snubbed, you know, I think that's what type of year this league can have just because of the experience and obviously the type of talent that we have in this league and along with all the coaches. I mean, it's a credit to all these coaches and their programs that nobody transferred out. No one went to a BCS school. None of the seniors left. Everyone believes that, you know, playing in the Valley at this certain program can make them go to where they want to go to. And they all enjoy it enough to come back for 4 years, 5 years, 6 years for some of these kids. So the league's going to be incredibly tough.
That's a great point, because I think there were a lot of fans that when they heard about some of the transfer rules changing due to COVID, all that, that they thought it was going to be open season on Valley players. And that simply did not happen. And not looking too far ahead, you add Belmont to this mix starting next year.
Boy.
And the Valley is as strong as it's been in a long time.
It's murderer's
and,
row.
Yeah. And two bids minimum every year. I mean, that's where the Valley's going, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. I think everyone's on board with that. And adding Belmont, I mean, it just raises the profile. You know, I think most of the fans and most of the media understand how good this league is basketball-wise. But when you talk to coaches across the country, I mean, they have so much respect for, you know, what these teams do and how hard these kids play in these programs. And that's why, you know, the NCAA tournament postseason success, I mean, there's no other league non-Power Five that has had the success that the Missouri Valley Conference has had in the postseason. I mean, Mountain West, A-10, it doesn't even come close to our tournament record. And there's a reason, because, you know, this league produces winning championship type teams, and teams play the right way. The kids play extremely hard, and there's a ton of talent from this league every single year.
And that just makes it harder to put together a schedule because no one wants to get humbled by a Missouri Valley Conference team. Want to talk about your schedule a little bit. You go to Little Rock on the 9th. You got Austin Peay back at Banterre on the 12th for the home opener, the Charles Cellini Tip-Off Classic. And then you got this Paradise Jam that's getting underway as well. Let's talk about the field there. We start out things with Colorado. Who else could we run into in that deal?
Yeah, it's going to be a tough first five games for us. You know, obviously at Little Rock, they won the conference championship 2 years ago before the COVID season. Then Austin Peay's been a really good program the last couple of years. They'll come here for a home opener. Hopefully we can sell that place out on November 12th on a Friday night. And then Paradise Jam, it's a great field. You know, we play Colorado. We finished top 10 in the net last year. And then if we win, we play the winner or loser of Duquesne and Northeastern. Two great coaches. Obviously, Northeastern's been in the tournament a ton. Coach Dan Brod at Duquesne is one of the best coaches around. And on the other side of the bracket, you have Creighton. You have Colorado State, who's preseason top 25. Bradley's in it because they were supposed to be in it last year, but due to COVID, couldn't be in it, so they were able to get in it this year. And then Brown, who also will be picked up there in the Ivy League this year. So in terms of an MTE tournament, it'll give you a bunch of quad one, quad two opportunities for us, and it's going to be a great early challenge to see where we're at as a program.
Coach, you mentioned, I want to go back to the Slukies, you mentioned guys that maybe people didn't get to see last year, and you've mentioned about J.D. Mulya's footwork. And just for some people say, well, wait a minute, footwork? You know, you got to have a big guy catch the ball or rebound or block shots. But it's so important for bigs to have the good footwork. Explain that a little bit. I know you're a little guy, like, you know, you're a guard. But explain what that means for the big guys to have good footwork.
I was a guard, but I took care of my big guys.
I know, that's right.
They set screens, and I was with Randall last weekend when he got inducted to the Hall of Fame.
Well, yeah. That was a party, wasn't it?
It's so important. You know, I mean, the fundamentals, first and foremost, is so important. It separates good players from great players. And when you can, you know, conquer the footwork, especially as a big guy or even as a guard, but with the bigs, you know, on the defensive side of the ball, you know, it's all about, you know, footwork on ball screen defense, on post defense. It's not about arm fighting or, you know, your upper body strength. It's all about, you know, can you, you know, use your feet to get there quick enough? And then on the offensive side, so many times the bigs are using their feet and their lower body. You know, we always say low man wins for the post up. If they get fronted, when they switch their feet, when they catch the ball, if they're able to pivot, have balance, be able to, you know, make a pass, be able to speed the screen, change their angle on their screen with the footwork, be able to roll, pop, change direction in transition, winning the first three steps, beating other teams down the court. And having JD healthy, it gives us a different dynamic at that position. You know, Kyler's made huge strides, but JD and Kyler are two different types of players. So being able to have both of them, I think, will give us a lot of, really flexibility when we go against different types of teams.
And you can throw out some different lineups against these different teams. And with the variety of teams that you're going to be playing here in the non-conference schedule, I think fans might get a little anxious when they see a bunch of different lineups go out there. But really, it's a wealth of riches, and it's showing off the depth. And all that depth's going to be needed to get through a Valley season.
He's like a mad scientist. He can do anything he wants. He can tinkle here, tinkle. It's got to be fun.
Him and his brother might get into some arguments over the most optimal lineup for a certain
opponent.
Let's
go four guards. Yeah.
Well, the arguments always end with me being right and him being wrong. So
Perfect answer.
But it is. I think we can play different ways. We can guard different ways. Offensively, we can do some different things. And you hit on a big point in terms of the Valley. Because you got to be able to do some different, you got to be able to play some different ways in the Valley to be successful. Because, you know, there's all, you know, programs play different ways. And if you only play one way, the scouting in our league is so good that they'll take things away from you. They'll pick on your weaknesses, and you got to be able to change some things up and be versatile. And that's why I think this year's team, you know, obviously you want to stay healthy. Knock on wood, we're able, have good health throughout the season. But in terms of us as a staff, we're still kind of putting together lineups and rotations and figuring things out right now in practice. You know, we're not there yet with, having, okay, this is our rotation here, this is our rotation there. You know, that's what, these next couple weeks are really going to be beneficial for us for.
Well, I think the fans tomorrow night at Banterra Center will be very forgiving, whatever you throw out there, because they're just going to be happy to be back inside, man, seeing you in the flesh tomorrow night. 7 o'clock tip-off versus Henderson State, and you can still get your tickets, 877-SALUKIS, SIUSALUKIS.com. Grab that Salukis mobile app, do the whole mobile ticketing. It really, you feel like a VIP. Just stick out your phone and go, I'm in.
Yes.
And there you are, washing the dogs in the flesh for
the
first
time over
600
days. I like the fact that he knows 600 days. Yeah.
Oh, you know he's counting.
Yeah, coach has been counting.
608. He's probably 608.
Yeah, he's got a big
608.
He's got a big calendar and he marks in what every day. He's like a guy in prison.
How 608. Eerie. How eerie would that be if it was 618?
I know. That's when I saw that. I was like, oh, that was pretty close. That was pretty close.
Cutting it too close. Yeah. That would be an ominous sign, but a good one at that.
Yeah.
But best of luck this season. Stay healthy, stay well, and best of luck tomorrow night against Henderson State. Even though it don't count, we'll be rooting for Saluki win all the same.
We'll see you tomorrow night, Coach.
Brian Mullins, thanks for joining us at the Doghouse.
Thank you.